thoughts on the prophet Zechariah. In this discourse, this brief discourse, I want to take an overview of the prophet Zechariah. Well, we know that he was a post-exile prophet. That is to say, he was carrying out his ministry, carrying out his service for God, preaching and prophesying when the Jews were coming back to the Promised Land, to Judah, to Judea and Jerusalem after the captivity in Babylon. So as an exile, post-exile prophet, he is encouraging, he is reproving, he is seeking to move the people to continue the work and encouraging them in this work. Now, let me take an overview. He opens with a resume of Jewish history. How do they get into this terrible position? How do they get into Babylon? How did Israel get into Assyria? What happened? What took them away from the Promised Land? What brought about this destruction of the temple and this ruination? Well, it's all spelled out in the first six verses of his prophecy. He explains very fully. I'm sure he was not a popular preacher. He wouldn't be called to the conferences. He wouldn't get lots of likes on the internet. He wouldn't be boosted with all the downloads. He said, "Is your sin, is your rebellion, is your apostasy. You've gone to pagans. You've broken the covenant. You've played fast and loose with the law. You refuse to listen. God sent to you prophet after prophet. Time and time and time again, God pleaded with you. But in your stubborn refusal, you stiff-necked people. You refused to listen, and you went on with your paganism. And, of course, you had to go into judgment." Now, says Zechariah, prophets come and prophets go. And water flows under the bridge and you go on. But the word of God, this is the point, the word of God abides. I hope we're listening today, my brothers and sisters. I hope we're listening. Because if it's what I think, we're doing a similar thing to the covenant, the new covenant, as the Jews did to the old covenant. If we're playing with paganism, if we're copying the world, if we got worldly mindedness, greatness and success and financial this and financial that and the internet ability and all the rest of it, we're competent. If that's what we think it is, my friend, then God will disabuse us. It is the weakness. The weakness of suffering and smallness that God blesses. And he calls the people, Zechariah, to repentance, 1 verse 6. Now, the chapters 1 to 8, that he, in a series of visions, which I don't pretend to be able to offer anything new, he gives visions of encouragement during the restoration, encouraging them, moving them back to take up the work, very much as Haggai and Malachi had to do, of course, there's reproof in it all, but as we shall see, in chapters 1 to 8 we have these visions. And then in 9 to 14, I believe we can see very largely messianic prophecies of the new covenant, of the gospel. And again, I won't pretend to say anything new, but I hope to be able to bring out the glories of Christ in chapters 9 to 14. Of course, I know that even taking Zechariah with my views, I don't believe in a Jewish kingdom to come. That will be the red rag to the bull for many people, and they see this thousand-year, or whatever it is, rule for Jews with Christ in Jerusalem. I don't. And I'm going to preach the gospel as much as I can from the prophet Zechariah. I find this in Luke 24, Christ in all the scriptures. Christ is there. I believe the gospel is there. In embryo form, in figurative form, in symbolic form, but I believe it's there all the same. Christ's appearance, of course, again, his coming again, and the eternal kingdom. Well, that's the overview I've taken of this prophecy. I'm not setting myself up as a prophetical interpreter, but I hope to bring some, in these little discourses, thoughts on Zechariah, bring out some profitable thoughts centered entirely upon the one and only center, Christ is all.